97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Thank you so much for joining us on this holiday weekend as we are just right on the precipice of Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Tony Colombo. I am joined in studio by producer Chad Ellis, my co-host Bo Matthews, and back where he belongs in the studio with us, Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory.
We need to start that campaign. Bring back. Just telling Chad off the air. I guess we didn't explain this super well.
Hold on, you were telling Chad off?
Off, yeah, I was. I've been telling him off the air a lot of things. But, you know, we're getting customers in the store. They're like, where's Aaron? Because they're getting into the October, November podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been coming in. We've been getting messages on the Facebook page. A lot of those. And so it's like, yeah, there's been some changes. Maybe we didn't explain that.
Aaron is still here.
I'm here.
He's still in studio with us every few weeks.
Yeah.
And he joins us on the phone to start every single show.
So there, but not gone.
There you go. We were just talking off the air. I want to jump right into it. We want to get see what's going on at Southern Armory, get an update on
all that stuff
in a few minutes. But I want to continue this conversation that we were just having off the air about gun sales and the state basically of the gun industry. There was a long running joke. It was a joke, but it was also true.
I had his picture in my store.
I'm talking about Barack Obama being.
Yeah, I am
that,
too.
That Barack Obama is the greatest gun salesman of all time.
Of all times.
Yes, and
absolutely.
Because of the boom. When he was president, the worry that Barack Obama and the Democratic Party would come and get your guns, or they would pass stricter Second Amendment, restricting laws, and maybe guns that were available at the time wouldn't be available anymore.
Right.
I remember one period of time after one of the shootings, going into Cabela's, and the line
was insane
in the gun section was like wrapped around the store because people were worried that there was about to be some legislation passed and they weren't going to be able to get a certain gun or a certain magazine or whatever.
So
they were stocking up.
I remember those days too because, you know, we had the store open at that point. And I remember, you know, people like, you know, well, I'll give you this for this gun. It's like, listen, you know, he was here first. Like, this is, he's doing the background check. We're not going to have a bidding war here.
Right.
I've got another one in back. If I don't have the exact same one, I've got another AR, AK, or FAL, or style semi-automatic box fed gun in back, and we can get that. And then some people just didn't care what it was. If it was black and had a collapsible stock and a muzzle brake and a bayonet,
because they
lug,
were afraid that they weren't that it would be more difficult to buy a gun. And but nothing ever came of that.
Nothing
really
ever came of it. But you had these people that were, you know, in their 40s, and 50s even, and some in their 30s. But the ones that were really freaked out were the ones that lived through the Clinton era assault weapons ban.
Yeah.
And so they knew what it was like.
Yeah.
And we had customers.
And they knew how it was very possible.
Yeah. And we had customers. We got a lot of transplants that they come from, like California and New York, New Jersey, you know, places that are super restrictive. And it's fun. I love it when somebody comes and says, like, I just moved here from California. I'm like, welcome to a free state. And then I put a suppressor in their hand. I'm like, I bet you've never held one of these. And they're like, nope, sure haven't, you know.
Yeah.
Seen it in the movies. That's about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then they're not realistic. You know, they're like, this makes it like completely silent. It's like, no, not really, but makes it quieter. But, you know, you just have fun with them. And so I do that pretty regularly. We get visitors from the states, you know, that are into the 2A culture, but they live in California for work or whatever. And I've got several buddies that live in California because they're in, like, one's a documentary filmmaker. He did the NASCAR stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Swirls, that's a little shout out for you. But and so he's like a gun guy, but he only shoots when he comes into town for, you know, all of his guns are here. He doesn't take them with him because they're not on the approved list in California.
So Barack Obama sells a lot of guns. He's a boom for the gun industry.
Absolutely.
Now
tons of innovation. A lot of startup companies that were specializing in particular areas of a firearm. They weren't specializing in the whole AR-15. They would specialize just in the bolt carrier group, just in the trigger group. fire control group, whatever you want to call it, just in the buttstock, just in the barrel, mm-hmm. And so that's what you were seeing, because the industry was so booming that you could have a specialty company that just came in and focused on one firearm and one particular part, and they made the best barrels, they made the best handguards, they made the best whatever. And it wasn't just the ARs, it was for, you know,
everything, across the board.
Yeah, across the board, for your handguns. 1911s are pretty iconic, and a lot of those companies are still around, because, I mean, I got more 1911s than I got Glocks, you know, or even SIGs. You know, when you look at 1911s, you know, across the board, doesn't matter what manufacturer it is. We got more of those between my wife and I than we do of any other single manufacturer firearm. Mm-hmm. But go ahead with your next point.
Well, and so now we've had 3 years of Donald Trump.
Yes.
And
impeached.
And who isn't impeached. You would think Republican in the White House had control, full control of Congress for the first 2 years, mm-hmm. still has the Senate. And, you know, you would think this is great for the gun industry, because the Republicans are in charge and everything's going to be okay. But it's actually
people got comfortable, and
so it's actually hurt business.
But it's better for the gun rights.
Hold on,
let me go on that rant here separately. After I talk about everybody shutting down.
Yeah, you know what? That is a great point. But finish that one first.
We'll get into the right thing.
It's good that people are comfortable because they're not scared.
Right, they're not scared. Which is good, because panic buys are not buying. They're not great buys. And we were selling a lot of guns to people that were like, "Oh, I never thought I would need one." And I was like, "I remember when, you know, I thought that too, you know." But I got one. So now all of a sudden you have people that have bought these guns. They've left them pretty bare bones. They've not upgraded them in any way. They're not going to training classes like they were. They're not buying ammunition like they were, magazines or anything else. But then when you get into the right aspect, right? We'll go to everybody's favorite healthcare plan, the Affordable Care Act. The Democrats managed to pass that through on a straight line party vote. We were talking about that off the air, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, not really cool, but you know, okay. But they didn't do anything with gun control. And then after the next, you know, couple years of Obama, you know, where they couldn't get anything really done, we didn't see any gun control. We actually saw him make it where you could carry firearms on, like, you know, like, I'll say federal property, like federal parks and national forests and stuff like that.
Right.
And so he kind of like loosened it up. I was like, huh, that's kind of weird. Then we get into Trump, right? And we had Trump for 2 years where he had, you know, basically the Republican supermajority. And if they really wanted to show how great they were and they were going to support our Second Amendment rights, you know what they would have done? They would have repealed the NFA. They would have, mm-hmm. you know, tried to flex a little bit more muscle on states like Illinois, California, New Jersey, New York. You know, the list goes on.
So for all the fear that was created, rightfully so, by Barack Obama uh-huh. and the Democrats, and, you know, we talked about off the air how they proved that if they wanted to get something done, they did it with health care.
Yeah, they had a gavel. She showed it. She walked through the crowd of people.
If they wanted to pass something, they could have just done it. Straight party line, just like they did with health insurance.
Yeah.
They didn't do that with any big gun legislation.
Anything that mattered, period.
Right. And now, but it's actually been Donald Trump, and I'm not saying that he's like a Democrat. I'm not saying that he would go as far as many on the left would go, but he is a president that has banned bump stocks.
Yep.
And you know, Obama never banned anything.
He couldn't. It was hard.
Right. Trump has vocally supported things like red flag laws.
Absolutely, he has.
He's had some friction with the NRA.
Yep. Whom endorsed him first time ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
The NRA had endorsed a president or a candidate really so quickly.
Yeah.
I remember I was at the meeting when they did that.
So it's very interesting. It's almost ironic that, you know, that Barack Obama had, everybody was afraid that he was going to do something to take things away from people. So they bought their guns. Trump has actually taken something away. Bump stocks.
Yeah.
I don't care about bump stocks. I'm just making a point. He's actually passed legislation to take something away and has entertained some ideas that are very scary if you think about them, but it's not getting that reaction.
And so now, you know, the rhetoric is
and
there.
I'm not saying I'm not trying to incite fear. I'm just
pointing out
I'm just
the
pointing out how what a interesting situation this is.
It's hypocrisy.
Isn't it big picture? How does your big picture mind look at this and go, okay, Obama, who hailed from Illinois, had the worst gun crimes happening in Chicago, but what is the bigger picture? Why didn't they do anything?
So I don't know.
It's a good question.
I was actually having this conversation with my buddy who runs St. Louis shooting, STL shooting enthusiast. He does gear reviews and stuff. And him and I go back and forth. We're a member of the same gun club and kind of just chat back and forth and play pranks on one another. But with that being said, him and I were like, I told him, I was like, how do you see this Virginia thing playing out? Because it's like, it looks like Virginia's going to blow up. There's patriots and everything else out there that are a lot of rhetoric online. And he's like, I don't know. I never thought Virginia would be it. And he's like, I always thought it'd be California. I said, nah, it would never be California because I have friends that live there that are 2A people, but they're just moderate leftists. That's what they are. They're comfortable with the gun control.
They're conveniently leftist.
Yeah. And because they get out there and they get kind of indoctrinated into that because that's all the new stuff that they see. So then they come here and you compare them. You compare somebody who's 2A friendly from Missouri compared to somebody 2A friendly from California. And they're like just moderate leftists. They're still left leaning, but they're moderate. Which was basically what Obama was. They still have a lot of gun rights and stuff over in Illinois. And when you look at Illinois people, they're just comfortable with, we have FOID here and we can't have high capacity magazines, in this county or that county. And we can't have this or that in this particular. And they're comfortable with it.
Right.
And here I am in Missouri, y'all are nuts.
Aaron, you're a businessman.
Yeah.
So in the business of guns and the companies, which ones have closed down because there's no sales.
Yeah, so you have some of these retailers that are online closed. They were sending out emails hey, come buy our stuff. You had manufacturers closing.
Name some of them.
The big one that I can think of, and I've got one of their handguards, is, you put me on the spot here. I just totally went blank.
That's my job. Put you on the spot.
I know, it's okay. I appreciate that. They've been gone for so long.
It's a laser spot, by the way.
It's hurt a lot of these little startups. Hurt a lot of the big guys, but the people that were able to take advantage of the boom period that was happening a few years ago that started new businesses and opened up little shops, they're the ones that have had
the mom and pops.
Yeah, but essentially.
It's not Remington. Ruger? No.
No. The big the flagship people, the Glocks, the Rugers, the Remingtons, the Smith and Wessons,
they're
still going to be around. But you've seen Gemtech, who did just suppressors.
Okay. No, that's the one I was thinking of.
Gemtech is still around, but they got bought by Smith and Wesson, and actually they got bought and sold several times.
Hmm.
And I'm texting my wife. Hold on.
Are you asking your wife?
Oh yeah.
Oh, she's the brains. Yeah.
He's the beauty? What's it?
Well, I got the voice for radio.
But she's the one at Southern Armory. If you go into Southern Armory, you want to talk to Jess. She's the one that's going to get you what you need. She's going to have all the answers.
I have a question for you, Aaron.
What's up, buddy?
Why don't they, some of these smaller stores just merge instead of just completely going out of business? That's the first question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got an answer for that, but go ahead.
And the second question is, if Remington files for bankruptcy, which they did.
Yeah, and Colt did too.
How does that affect their business?
Who, the small companies or the depends on
business.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of bankruptcy they file for. I'm not an attorney. I just stayed at a Holiday Inn last night. But so you have Chapter 11, Chapter 13, which one's a restructuring and one's I'm going out of business. And I'm sure there's an attorney out there. There's more to it than that. It's like, dude, let's just, let's talk about little kid stuff here. So Colt did that, and they were just trying to restructure some debt. And then, Colt was very controversial, and I was on KSDK. The media here loves me in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, well, why aren't they going to sell it to the civilian market? And it's like, it's called the commercial market. Let's get that right. There's government and there's commercial. So, and it was like they're going with their strong suit, right? They're not selling AR-15s like they were. Like, nobody's selling them like they were. So there's been a stagnant of innovation in there. And then you have, everything else going on. So, everybody thinks Colt. They think revolvers. They think 1911s. And that's what's going on with that. Why doesn't everybody join together and band together? That's a good question.
Two stores are struggling. Why don't they merge?
Let's go together. So this is my kingdom. and that's your kingdom.
Yeah.
And you stay out of my kingdom.
This is why churches don't join forces.
Right. This isn't what
they just
is,
open another
yeah.
church.
Yeah, they open another church.
Or
this
close
is,
another
this
one.
This is why fire yeah. districts don't get together, ambulance districts don't get together. This is why the city county merger wasn't gonna work.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh.
So
just
it,
creating that
yeah.
divide yeah. the divide that keeps everybody on their own yeah. little island.
Different yeah. business plans too, I would
yeah.
think.
Yeah, absolutely. Different models, you know, what they want to do. So you get some of these stores here that are like really, really heavy into the AR market, AK market. Like you look at us, we're very heavy into the handgun market. I mean, yeah. we carry the rifles, the you know, hunting rifles, shotguns, ARs too. But back in the heyday, it was like you could walk in and you could find anything tactical as far as rifle, shotgun in our store. But then when you looked at our rifle selection versus our handgun selection, I mean, we had like 700-800 handguns on the wall mm-hmm. and maybe just a few hundred rifles.
That's Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, who is in the studio with us for the entire show. We will continue this discussion in the next segment. Also coming up a little bit later on, we are going to be talking to a goose hunter.
Yeah.
You want to give a quick tease on?
Yeah, Jason Pratt. He's a bird hunter, man. And geese this year are his hot thing. He does ducks too, but geese are...
Geese is fun. And
I mean, then, who doesn't love Canadian bacon?
The wife texted me back. It's a rhino.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah. and the reason I was having trouble thinking of it is it was two companies that merged together, and then they went out of business.
There you go.
So right. it was Rhino and something else. It doesn't make a difference.
So we'll talk goose hunting here in just a little bit with Jason Pratt and Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory sticking around. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Yeah.
New take.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here with Bo Matthews, Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, in studio with us. Coming up in the next segment, we are going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk hunting. We're going to talk specifically goose and duck hunting with Jason Pratt. I also have, they released the 2020 hunting, the hunting calendar, the Missouri hunting calendar
for
2020
seasons,
was just released. So we'll go over that a little bit as well. Right now I want to continue the gun industry discussion that we are having with Aaron Tarlow. Go ahead.
We're talking about innovation, and I just got a text from a buddy, and it's funny. He's like, hey, maybe you should explain this. And I don't think he knows that we're on the air. I think he was just randomly talking to me. Like, who's still innovating, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got like Glock, who's really been on a
big
push.
And what innovations are there still to make?
Right. So there are things out there to do. You know, there's still, you know, barrels. You can experiment with rifling. There's new cartridges being developed. Winchester just came out with 350, which is a straight wall cartridge for certain states that when you hunt, you have to have a straight wall cartridge. So straight wall cartridge is like, you know, like this. You know, it's like straight piece of paper, right? Mm-hmm. When you look at like some of your like ARs, your AKs, they're tapered. You know, they have like either they're slanted or they have like a neck that come down, kind of like a shape of a beer bottle.
Okay.
Okay. So
what's the benefit though?
It's just restriction.
Okay.
They're just probably trying to. I mean, I'm sure they have a reason behind it, but you know, if they say, "Well, it's got to be a straight wall cartridge," you know, generally your straight wall cartridges were like 45 Long Colt, 44 Magnum, and people go hunt with those. And then because they didn't want, like, you know, and there's nothing you can't kill in North America with a 308 or 30-06. Like, mm-hmm. if you have those two calibers, you can pretty much go anywhere in North America, kill whatever you need to kill. But then you have like 45-70, 30-30. 45 Long Colt, 44 Magnum, 357 Magnum. Those are straight wall cartridges. And we haven't seen a lot of innovation in there. But Winchester just came up with a 350. They have it in an AR platform. I told my wife, I said, I just found my new, my next rifle. And she's like, oh, really?
Another rifle.
You know,
but
yeah.
Isn't there a big opportunity when you talk about innovation with the electronics and like the optics? Because I've shared the story before that I can't use a regular scope because that lens on the eye side of my face is so close I can't see.
Yeah, you need more eye relief or less.
So optics and drones, for crying out loud, for hunters, I would think drones, couldn't you put a sensor in a bullet? And then have the drone follow the bullet.
That'd be funny.
I'm
sure it would be very expensive.
Just put the gun on the drone.
Yeah.
Gun on the drone.
And shoot him from the sky.
I picture Sarah Palin in a helicopter shooting.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, seen that.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You ain't the boss.
Yeah, because
recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
Aaron, it is out there.
If you were king,
yes.
Is there one thing? You shoot guns all the time. Is there one thing that you think that really needs to be that there's room for improvement, or there's a hole in the market? Like, we need a gun, or we need an accessory, or we need something that solves some issue. Do you see that, or
I'm pretty happy with stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, everything you could really want in the firearms market is there.
Right.
The problem is, like, the pricing. So, like, an electronic-style scope, those are pretty cost prohibitive. So the minister at our church, our pastor, Pastor Paul from White Flag, you can check those guys out on the internet, too. He took a lot of heat because he came home from his from vacation, and he had coyotes that had moved in on his deck.
Oh, boy.
So he's shooting them.
Yeah.
And he posted it on his Instagram, and, like, PETA came out of the woodwork. So him and I are talking about this at church when it was snowing last mm-hmm. week. My daughter's out, like, in the parking lot twirling around. She's two, so it was super cute, and everybody was watching. He's out there, he's kind of laughing, he's checking out the snow too. And him and I were talking, I was like, how's the coyote problem? He's like, well, I eliminated the one pack. And he goes, now I got two more that came in. I said, well, yeah, you eliminated a hole, and now, you know, stuff's coming in. He goes, yeah, I really need to get that night vision scope you have. And I'm like, yep, that can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you need it, it's not a big deal. He's like, I've got the light and I've got the call and I'm getting them to come in. But he's like, they're back far enough that the red light that I'm using isn't hitting them. And, and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, yeah, next week at church, if I remember, I'll bring you a rifle with a night vision optic on it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, but, you know, they're cost prohibitive. I mean, some of these night vision optics are several thousand dollars,
yeah.
you know, and so I think, and they're big, they're not, like, tiny and compact. So I think as things, you know, come to fruition,
mm-hmm.
you'll see them get smaller and cheaper.
Sure,
the technology will change.
So we're going to talk to Jason Pratt about duck hunting and goose hunting and all things hunting here in just a couple minutes. Before we talk to Jason, what is happening at Southern
Armory?
Right,
so we're wrapping up, obviously, Christmas sales and stuff like that. So if you've got time, we're going to be open on Christmas Eve. We're closed on the 23rd, which is Monday. We open Christmas Eve. I think Jessica's going to close at like 4:30. But you can, come in, buy those last-minute things. We got these awesome, cool tech mats that came out, like, version 2.0. One of the reps stopped in, was like, hey, check this out. Jessica got some shirts and stuff in. So she was wearing one that says, I just want to eat bacon, shoot guns, and cuddle or something. And I was, like, dying. I was like, that's pretty funny. And then I made bacon for breakfast the other day, and me and Piper destroyed it. And Noah said, is there any bacon left? And I was like, oh. She did it.
Yeah.
Blame it on the child.
Blame the 2-year-old.
So we got great little, like, last minute stuff, like cleaning kits or anything like that. It's too late to get you a firearm. Sorry. You know, the wholesalers.
Not too late for a gift card, though.
Yeah, not too late for a gift card. Those are always available. You can get, you know, CCW, Advanced Pistol Class. The simulator is a great gift, super unique.
Yeah.
There's only two places in the greater St. Louis area that I know that have it.
Yeah.
Southern Armory is one of them. We were the first ones that had it.
Yeah.
So we've got a ton of guns for it. We've got like two or three cert guns. We've got a Glock 22. We've got an AR-15. The other place doesn't have that. So you come in and check all that out. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road in Crestwood.
Next to Harbor Freight.
Yeah, next to Harbor Freight, which
I was
is another.
Just there.
Yeah, you're telling me that. I was just at Harbor Freight on Sunday. I was like, oh, me and my daughter were at church. Still.
Aaron, why don't you have 25% off coupons like they do? And a free flashlight.
And a free flash like that would be awesome. Maybe I got to get my guy at Avidyne to get me that.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, man, can we get out some free flashlights? looking for some new stuff for next year. Going to do some testing and evaluation and maybe get into a little bit more of the lightweight backpacking camping. Industry's down, so you got to kind of look and see, you know, where there are holes, right? And generally, there's not a real good camping store necessarily around. I called a box store the other day. They're going to stop selling ammo, so they're clearancing it all out.
Yeah.
And one of my customers came in. He goes, "You shoot 44 mag."
I said, story attacking
"Yeah, about. I do. Yeah, I'm not going to mention their names. I'm not going to support them." And he's like, "Yeah, $5 a box for 44 Magnum." I go, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "I can't reload 44
right.
for that for what the quantity they're selling, like, you know, 50 round boxes or something for $5." I'm like, "I can't reload that. I mean, that's probably like, you know, a $10 reload." Right. You know, he's like, yeah, he's like, you should go buy it. I did. So yeah. Called around, and it was like every store I called was 25, 30 minutes, and they had to page back to the sporting goods section like 4 or 5 times. That's... And the one store I was actually driving right by, and I'm like, well, if they've got it, I'm going to turn around and come back here. So I stopped in. I was still on the phone with them as I was walking back. So Southern Armory, it's going to ring once or twice. And then we're going to, a real life person who knows what we have in stock is going
to
answer.
And talk to you.
And talk to you. And you're going to be on and off the phone really quick. And,
yep.
And we're happy to order it if we don't have it. That's the other cool thing. So we're all about customer service, not like the big box store. So if you want that personal homey feel, you come to Southern Armory and make us your gun store. We're happy to win your business and keep you happy. And it's really, once you come in, you start kind of hanging out, you'll start meeting all the regular customers and you'll be... being there all the time. I got customers in there every day on a certain day.
SouthernArmory.com and, of course, yep. Southern Armory on Facebook. Great ways to keep up with everything that is happening in the
store. Check out Second Amendment Radio on Facebook.
That's right.
I occasionally mess with that now every once in a while when I'm super busy fighting off crime and saving the world.
That's right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk hunting with Jason Pratt next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with Bo Matthews, Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. In just a second, we are going to be talking to Jason Pratt. He is a goose and duck hunter. But before that, this hunting segment
is brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester Road in De Pere. It's a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts with the largest selection of suppressors in the area. Check out their website, razorbackarmory.com.
And speaking of our buddies at Razorback, don't forget, if you missed last week's show or you missed any edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, download our podcast. You can get it in very many places, but the best place to get it is the radio.com app. On the radio.com app, you can stream the station 24/7. You can take advantage of the radio rewind feature, which gives you a chance to rewind live radio while you're listening to it. Very, very cool. And if you miss anything from any of the shows here on the station, you can download the podcast, including Second Amendment Radio. And our buddies at Razorback were with us for the whole show last week. So go back and check that out if you missed that. Right now, Jason Pratt, the goose and duck hunter. Jason, it is great to talk with you. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and why you appreciate the goose and duck hunting more than anything else.
Well, I live for this time of year. I save up all my vacation time for this time of year. I hunt just about anything. If it's legal in the state of Missouri and I can feed my family with it, I'm going to hunt it. I normally do a lot of deer hunting. But my addiction is mostly waterfowl, duck, and goose. And just got back from Vegas, and that's the last time my wife plans a vacation in the middle of goose season.
So inconsiderate.
She's got the rest of the year to do that.
Yes. Yeah. As soon as we got off the plane, took one day to rest this past week, and the next day when we got back in town, I got back out into the goose field.
Yeah. So why the waterfowl? Why goose and duck hunting? Why do you enjoy that more than, deer hunting or other things?
I deer hunt, I bow hunt, I rifle hunt, but the waterfowl really intrigues me. For one, it takes a skill to hit a flying bird. And also what really gets me about it is the camaraderie with me and my friends while we're duck and goose hunting.
Yeah, I agree. It's always better when you go out with your buddies. You got like 3 or 4 of you set up in like a U shape, and then it is some skill to shoot something out of the sky that's moving. And if you've never done that before, come in and get some clays and a thrower, or go out to one of the conservation areas where you can pay a few dollars and try to shoot some clays. It is not an easy thing to do. It takes some skill. You got to know distance. You got to know the speed and everything else.
But it's not impossible.
Yep. No,
As a novice, I did do clay shooting, and I was like, I was actually kind of shocked that I could lead it like I did.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Jason, you made a comment to me the other day. How long has it been since you've actually bought protein in the store?
So next year, 2020, will be 13 years of my wife and I not buying beef from the store.
That's legit.
Wow.
Yeah. Seriously.
And that's funny because my wife and I had that goal one year. That was the year my buddies.
One year.
Yeah, one year. I said, we're going to try to kill everything we're going to eat the next year. We're going to kill. She's like, okay. I spent the entire deer season out and got three deer.
Yeah.
Gave one of them to a buddy because I didn't have room in my deep freeze. And then went goose hunting, snow goose, which we were talking about off the air a little bit. And we shot like 90-something birds in 2 days between me and another buddy. And there's three of us, but the other guy had been out previously. He's like, I don't want any of this. He's like, you two can split this up. I had a huge trash bag full of birds. It was ridiculous.
Fantastic.
Well, I tell people that my food does not get recalled, and it's pure organic.
that's
right.
Hilarious.
He's always got to come back.
Yeah.
Now, do you call them in like we see, you know, Duck Dynasty guys? And who was the guy that just passed away last year, Jason? We both knew him. I had just met him. He was the goose guy. He was like the equivalent of Phil Robertson, but for the goose world.
Well, Tim Grounds, that's which is it. In Southern Illinois, he passed away recently.
That's it.
Yeah.
And his his kids are still running that empire, yeah?
From what I know, yes. And from what I understand over in Southern Illinois and all throughout the goose world, he was a legend. Yeah. I never got the opportunity to meet the man, but from what I hear, it's just a stand-up man. But, yeah, I set the decoys out. I call him in. And that's half the fun for me is calling them in and then watching my friends have a good time.
Is there a difference between snow goose and Canadian goose?
Well, I was going to ask Jason, what's the difference between goose and duck hunting?
Well, Bowen, you mentioned it between snow and Canadian. They're not actually called Canadian. They're actually just a Canada goose, as science says it. But the difference between geese and ducks, for me, obviously, a goose breast. One goose, Canada goose, can supply one meal for my wife and I. So you get more bang for your buck.
But is it a different style of hunting, or is it essentially the same strategy, just a different, you know, just a different animal?
It's similar. I do most of my goose hunting, Canada goose hunting, on cut cornfields, wheat fields, bean fields, rice fields, where the majority of my duck hunting experience has been in flooded timber or flooded corn. Yep. So a little difference there.
Yeah, and the size too, you know, you're going to see like six is probably typical. You see like 12 or more.
Yeah.
It's highly atypical. Then when you get into like the snow goose, you know, you're seeing them, they're clouds, they're clear blue sky, and you see like this gray cloud, and then there's thousands of them.
Jason, do you have a prep? I mean, like, so I'm a big fisherman and I love to eat what I catch. But if I was just fishing for food, I would probably, you know, stick more to fishing for things like catfish, because they're bigger, more bang for your buck. But I prefer bass fishing because, the sport of bass fishing is more fun. Do you have a preference when it comes to, for me at least, do you have a preference when it comes to goose and duck, or are you out there for the fun of it and the sport of it, or are you like literally out there because you're grocery shopping?
Well, I tell people my grocery store opens September 15 when archery season opens up.
All right. Yeah.
So I do have a little bit of pressure because I do enjoy the wild game that I harvest. So I normally try to bag two or three deer before the end of October. Then I can go ahead and concentrate on duck and goose. So it's a little bit of pressure. But, yeah, I do it, number one, for food, number two, for conservation reasons, and for number three, to have good fun with my friends.
Who taught you how to hunt, Jason?
My father took me out deer hunting one time when I was a child. So in my adult life, myself and being around people that know what they're doing when I first started getting out there in the hunting industry.
So if you're going to get into goose hunting, what did you spend? I mean, I have a good idea what I spent on startup.
Yeah.
But if you have, like you said, several buddies, you can spread that cost.
Yeah, what's the
cost out?
What's the investment, and what would you tell somebody who is listening to us and wants to give it a shot for the first time? Like, where can they get some information on how to get started, and what should they be thinking to themselves as far as like a startup investment into goose and duck hunting?
For starters, I would recommend you don't have to go out and get the like a 12-gauge Brett Extrema, which I shoot. I started out with a cheap 12-gauge Mossberg pump.
Yep.
You can pick one up for $200-$300.
I got an 870. That's what I still use. It's my grandfather's gun. He gave it to me. I still use it to this day.
They still get the job done. and try to meet with some people that have been out there a little bit, and just listen to how they call. Don't be afraid to ask questions when you're on the hunt with them. Let them buy the decoys because they're not cheap.
Yeah,
my
that's
wife
true story.
That one. But yeah, when I first started getting out, I had a friend of mine, and I owe everything to him. He got me involved with duck and goose hunting.
Westwood.
Next to Harbor Freight.
Yeah, next to Harbor Freight, which
I was
is another.
Just there.
Yeah, you're telling me that. I was just at Harbor Freight on Sunday. I was like, oh, me and my daughter are at church. Still.
Aaron, why don't you have 25% off coupons like they do? And a free flashlight
and
for crying.
And a free flashlight. That'd be awesome. Maybe I got to get my guy at Avidyne to get me that.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, man, can we get out some free flashlights? looking for some new stuff for next year. Going to do some testing and evaluation and maybe get into a little bit more of the lightweight backpacking camping. Industry's down, so you got to kind of look and see, you know, where there are holes, right? And generally, you know, I there's not a real good camping store necessarily around. I called a box store the other day, and they're going to stop selling ammo, so they're clearancing it all out.
Yeah.
And one of my customers came in. He goes, "You shoot 44 mag."
I
said,
story talking about.
"Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm not going to mention their names. I'm not going to support them." And he's like, "Yeah, $5 a box for 44 Magnum." I go, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." I go, "I can't reload 44
right.
for that, for what the quantity they're selling, like, you know, 50-round boxes or something for $5. I'm like, I can't reload that. I mean, that's probably like, you know, a $10 reload.
Right.
You know, he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You should go buy it." I did. So called around, and it was like every store I called was 25, 30 minutes. And they had to page back to the sporting goods section like 4 or 5 times. That's and the one store I was actually driving right by, and I'm like, "Well, if they've got it, I'm going to turn around and come back here." So I stopped in. I was still on the phone with them as I was walking back. So Southern Armory, it's going to ring once or twice. And then we're going to, a real life person who knows what we have in stock is going
to answer and talk to you.
And talk to you. And you're going to be on and off the phone really quick. And,
yep.
And we're happy to order it if we don't have it. That's the other cool thing. So we're all about customer service, not like the big box store. So if you want that personal homey feel, you come to Southern Armory and make us your gun store. We're happy to win your business and keep you happy. And it's really, once you come in, you start kind of hanging out, you'll start meeting all the regular customers and you'll be being there all the time. I got customers in there every day on a certain day.
SouthernArmory.com and, of course, Southern Armory on Facebook. Great ways to keep up with everything that is happening in the
store. Check out Second Amendment Radio on Facebook.
That's right.
I occasionally mess with that now every once in a while when I'm super busy fighting off crime and saving the world.
That's right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk hunting with Jason Pratt next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo in studio with Bo Matthews, Chad Ellis, and Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. In just a second, we are going to be talking to Jason Pratt. He is a goose and duck hunter. But before that, this hunting segment
is brought to you by Razorback Armory on Manchester Road in De Pere. It's a full-service firearm shop that strives to be the area's premier destination for firearm enthusiasts with the largest selection of suppressors in the area. Check out their website, RazorbackArmory.com.
And speaking of our buddies at Razorback, don't forget, if you missed last week's show or you missed any edition of Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, download our podcast. You can get it in very many places, but the best place to get it is the radio.com app. On the radio.com app, you can stream the station 24/7. You can take advantage of the radio rewind feature, which gives you a chance to rewind live radio while you're listening to it. Very, very cool. And if you miss anything from any of the shows here on the station, you can download the podcast, including Second Amendment Radio. And our buddies at Razorback were with us for the whole show last week. So go back and check that out if you missed that. Right now, Jason Pratt, the goose and duck hunter. Jason, it is great to talk with you. Tell folks a little bit about yourself and why you appreciate the goose and duck hunting more than anything else.
Well, I live for this time of year. I save up all my vacation time for this time of year. I hunt just about anything. If it's legal in the state of Missouri and I can feed my family with it, I'm going to hunt it. I normally do a lot of deer hunting. But my addiction is mostly waterfowl, duck, and goose. And just got back from Vegas, and that's the last time my wife plans a vacation in the middle of goose season.
So inconsiderate. So
you got the rest of the year to do that.
Yes. Yeah. As soon as we got off the plane, took one day to rest this past week, and The next day when we got back in town, I got back out into the goose field.
Yeah. So why the waterfowl? Why goose and duck hunting? Why do you enjoy that more than, you know, deer hunting or other things?
I deer hunt, I bow hunt, I rifle hunt, but, the waterfowl really intrigues me. For one, it takes a skill to, hit a flying bird. And also what really gets me about it is the camaraderie with me and my friends while we're duck and goose hunting.
Yeah, I agree. It's always better when you go out with your buddies. You got like three or four of you set up in like a U shape. And then it is some skill to shoot something out of the sky that's moving. And if you've never done that before, you know, come in and get some clays and a thrower, or go out to one of the conservation areas where you can pay, you know, a few dollars and try to shoot some clays. It is not an easy thing to do. It takes some skill. You got to know distance. You got to know the speed and everything else.
But it's not impossible.
Yep. No.
As a novice, I did do clay shooting, and I was like, I was actually kind of shocked that I could lead it like I did.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Jason, you made a comment to me the other day. How long has it been since you've actually bought protein in the store?
So next year, 2020, will be 13 years of my wife and I not buying beef from the store.
That's legit.
Wow.
Yeah. Seriously.
And that's funny because my wife and I had that goal 1 year. That was the year my buddies.
one year.
I said, we're going to try to kill everything we're going to eat the next year. We're going to kill. She's like, okay. I spent the entire deer season out and got three deer.
Yeah.
Gave one of them to a buddy. Because I didn't have room in my deep freeze. And then went goose hunting, snow goose, which we were talking about off the air a little bit. And we shot like 90-something birds in 2 days between me and another buddy. And there's three of us. But the other guy had been out previously. He's like, I don't want any of this. He's like, you two can split this up. I had a huge trash bag full of birds. It was ridiculous.
That's fantastic.
Well, I tell people that my food does not get recalled, and it's pure organic.
that's
right. Hilarious.
He's always got to come back.
Yeah.
Now, do you call them in, like we see, you know, Duck Dynasty guys? And who was the guy that just passed away last year, Jason? We both knew him. I had just met him. He was the goose guy. He was like the equivalent of Phil Robertson, but for the goose world.
Well, Tim Grounds,
that's
which is in Southern Illinois, he passed away recently.
That's it.
Yeah.
And his his kids are still running that empire, yeah?
From what I know, yes. And from what I understand, over in Southern Illinois and all throughout the goose world, he was a legend.
Yeah.
I never got the opportunity to meet the man, but from what I hear, it's just a stand-up man. But, yeah, I set the decoys out. I call him in. And that's half the fun for me is calling them in and then watching my friends have a good time.
Is there a difference between snow goose and Canadian goose?
Well, I was going to ask, Jason, what's the difference between goose and duck hunting?
Well, Bowen, you mentioned it between snow and Canadian. They're not actually called Canadian. They're actually just a Canada goose, as science says it. But the difference between geese and ducks, for me, obviously, a goose breast. One goose, Canada goose, can supply one meal for my wife and I. So you get more bang for your buck.
But is it a different style of hunting, or is it essentially the same strategy, just a different, you know, just a different animal?
It's similar. I do most of my goose hunting, Canada goose hunting, on cut cornfields, wheat fields, bean fields, rice fields, where the majority of my duck hunting experience has been in flooded timber or flooded corn.
Yep.
So little difference there.
Yeah, and the size too, you know, you're gonna see like six is probably typical. You see like 12 or more.
Yeah.
It's highly atypical. Then when you get into like the snow goose, you know, you're seeing them, they're clouds, the clear blue sky, and you see like this gray cloud, and then there's thousands of them.
Jason, do you have a prep? I mean, like, so I'm a big fisherman and I love to eat what I catch. But if I was just fishing for food, I would probably, you know, stick more to fishing for things like catfish, because they're bigger, more bang for your buck. But I prefer bass fishing because, you know, the sport of bass fishing is more fun. Do you have a preference when it comes to, for me at least, do you have a preference when it comes to goose and duck, or are you out there for the fun of it and the sport of it, or are you like literally out there because you're grocery shopping?
Well, my grocery I tell people my grocery store opens September 15 when archery season opens
up. All right.
So I do have a little bit of pressure because I do enjoy the wild game that I harvest. So I normally try to bag two or three deer before the end of October. Then I can go ahead and concentrate on duck and goose. So it's a little bit of pressure. But, yeah, I do it, number one, for food, number two, for conservation reasons, and for number three, to have good fun with my friends.
Who taught you how to hunt, Jason?
My father took me out hunting, deer hunting one time when I was a child. So in my adult life, myself and being around people that know what they're doing when I first started getting out there in the hunting industry.
So if you're going to get into goose hunting, what did you spend? I mean, I have a good idea what I spent on startup.
Yeah.
But if you have, like you said, several buddies, you can spread that cost.
Yeah, what's the cost
out?
What's the investment, and what would you tell somebody who is listening to us and wants to give it a shot for the first time? Like, where can they get some information on how to get started, and what should they be thinking to themselves as far as like a startup investment into goose and duck hunting?
For starters, I would recommend you don't have to go out and get the like a 12-gauge Brett Extrema, which I shoot. I started out with a cheap 12-gauge Mossberg pump.
Yep.
You know,
I started,
you can pick one up for $200-$300.
I got an 870. That's what I still use. It's my grandfather's gun. He gave it to me. I still use it to this day.
They still get the job done. And try to meet with some people that have been out there a little bit. And just listen to how they call. Don't be afraid to ask questions when you're on the hunt with them. Let them buy the decoys because they're not cheap.
Yeah,
my
that's
wife
true
knows
story.
That one. But yeah, when I first started getting out, I had a friend of mine, and I owe everything to him. He got me involved with duck and goose hunting, and I went with him a few handful of times, just listening to him, asking him questions, and I still call him to this day to get advice from him.
How much, this probably sounds like a silly question, but there's got to be truth to it. How much did the Duck Dynasty show and phenomenon do for the duck hunting industry as far as raising popularity, introducing people to sport? Kind of like when Tiger Woods caught on in golf and just the huge rise in people that became golfers was, you know, very noticeable. Was that the same effect that television show had on the duck hunting industry?
Yeah, it did. It gave more awareness to waterfowl hunting. It did bring in some new hunters to the industry, and that can be very good, but also everything isn't all rainbows and unicorns, how I like to say it. So that does bring in uneducated people are not safe with using a firearm around other people. But overall, it brought more hunters to the waterfowl world.
Made it more mainstream.
Yeah.
I watch Phil Robertson in the woods on Blaze TV.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you know what? He loves eating duck and everything else he hunts, but he's more about bringing people to Christianity,
right,
which is a beautiful thing. And he does it to this day. But if you think about it, the years that they did videos, hunting videos, well before Discovery A&E got a hold of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd been doing that for years as they were creating these different duck calls. Right, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I know, they've been out there for a long time duck hunting. And then I guess they got a hold of A&E. And that did bring duck and goose hunting more to mainstream media and to the industry. But once again, there's always some of those people that want to get out there, and they can be unsafe. That's my biggest thing is when you're duck and goose hunting, you're sitting very close to possibly three other people, sometimes up to 10, and it's all about safety is number one.
Right.
Yeah.
Jason,
know your shooting lens.
Yep.
That's the big thing.
We're talking to Jason Pratt, goose duck hunter, Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armories here as well. Only got a couple minutes left in the show, so really quickly, you mentioned, Jason, that you hunt everything. The Missouri Department of Conservation just released the dates for the hunting seasons in 2020, so you can go and check that out now. There's also been this discussion about introducing a elk and a black bear hunting season here in the state of Missouri. I'd like everybody's answer. Aaron, Bo, it's something that I would be definitely into. Start with you, Jason. Again, real quick, but what do you think about the idea of hunting a black bear and elk in the state of Missouri?
I'll be the first person to put in for that hunt.
Yeah.
Kind of figured.
What do you think?
Historically, elk and bear are native to Missouri.
Correct.
And through conservation efforts, we are getting those numbers back up, but those numbers also need to be controlled or they'll go overpopulated.
Yeah, and you need to manage it. So right now they're going to do a managed hunt, so I said you had to put in for it. And I would do elk because I would eat it. Black bear, I would not,
right?
Because I wouldn't eat it.
I think we could do the first live, like on-site edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors while we're hunting black bear.
Wow.
Chad is into
I'm not going to go, but I would love the footage as well as, you know, a souvenir, you know.
I've heard the bear meat is greasy. Don't know if that's
true. Well, we'll find out when we go hunting next year.
The only reason I would do the black bear, I would go ahead and I would do share the harvest. So I would just want the skin, the head, you know, to mount it and have a big blanket, and then the meat would go to one of the shelters.
Jason Pratt, unfortunately we're out of time, but hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again real soon. Good luck out there. We're glad you're out of the desert and back outside
the high desert
hunting.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Merry Christmas, Jason.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll talk to you again real soon. Aaron Tarlow from Southern Armory, southernarmory.com, the Southern Armory Facebook page. Great to see you, my friend. Thanks for coming in studio. We'll talk to you again next week as well. And again, if you missed anything from today's show, last week's show, just check out the Second Amendment Radio and Great Outdoors podcast. You can get it just about anywhere that you get podcasts, but the best place to do it is the radio.com app, where you can stream the station live, download all of our podcasts, and use the Radio Rewind feature there as well. So go and check that out if you missed anything. For my partner, Bo Matthews, our producer, Chad Ellis, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to another edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you back here next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.